In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Question 190. What must we do to love God, our neighbor, and ourselves? To love God, our neighbor, and ourselves, we must keep the commandments of God and of the Church, and perform the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. The spiritual and corporal works of mercy are acts of love, which we show to Christ in the members of his mystical body. Whatever we can help non-Catholics to become members of Christ's body and the love we show toward them. Whatever we do for a member of the body of Christ, we do for Christ, and we can help non-Catholics to become members of Christ's body by the love we show toward them. As our Lord himself says, "As long as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me." It's recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Question 191. Which are the chief corporal works of mercy? The chief corporal works of mercy are 7. 1. To feed the hungry. 2. To give drink to the thirsty. 3. To clothe the naked. 4. To visit the imprisoned. 5. To shelter the homeless. 6. To visit the sick. 7. To bury the dead. So let's go into these in some detail. And notice, each of these needs to be combined with other virtues, such as justice or prudence. We'll get to that in a moment. So, number 1, in the corporal works of mercy, they are acts of love, which come from the heart to help our neighbor in his bodily needs. So the first one is to feed the hungry. Everyone needs bodily food. It is an act of love to help others to obtain their bodily nourishment, especially those in greatest need. Examples are bringing food to a needy family, sharing your candy, going to the grocery store for your mother, helping with the cooking, doing the dishes, waiting on company. So the intention here in these examples, it shows that these corporal works of mercy can be practiced by very young children. And they can be done at home. But clearly that is not enough. So as we grow older, they change somewhat. We still have to feed the hungry as best we can, but it needs to extend beyond the home. I said that this has to be done with some prudence. In our times, of course, because drugs have infiltrated it, every level of society. If you invite homeless people into your house to feed them, well, it might be a very good act, but might be contrary to prudence. That is, you're probably familiar with the horrific story of a young girl in Utah who her parents were in the habit of inviting homeless people in and feeding them, helping them. I believe they were Mormons. And the young girl was kidnapped and was in slavery for a number of years until found. She's alive and well today, thanks be to God. But you can say, if you invite the homeless into your house, be careful. You have to be prudent. I'm not saying that that should never be done. It's just have to combine it with great prudence. So this especially depends on your state of life. Now, in a rectory, we often have homeless people. We're dealing with them on a regular basis. Priests do that all the time. But we don't have children in the house, so that's different for us. We have to take into consideration the children. Number 2, to give drink to the thirsty. What was said of food applies also to the need everyone has for drink. So for a child, giving your friends a drink on a hot day, giving the baby its bottle, putting the tea at the table, lifting up a little boy to help him get a drink at the fountain. This has to do with hospitality, too. As you grow up, being hospitable to others, inviting them in, hospitable at the church, hospitable at the parish hall, neighbors, at your home, that kind of thing. And giving the drink to the thirsty, you might even A greater example might be the work of a missionary journey to figure out some way to get fresh water to some village that doesn't have it. And again, every time we do something like this, we're doing it directly to Christ. Number three, to clothe the naked. Everyone needs clothing. It is an act of love to help others with clothing, especially those who need help. So when you're a child, bringing clothes to a needy family, or to a clothing drive for Europe or Asia, helping your little brother dress himself, helping your mother with the wash, shining shoes, or ironing clothes, putting the diapers on the baby, all these things can be practiced, again, by a very young child. But as you grow older, you realize that there are other things at work, combining it with other virtues. For example, the virtue of modesty. To clothe the naked, to practice the virtue of modesty, is a very, very good thing to do, and hard to do in our times. As you walk through a department store nowadays, if you go into the section, say, for Junior Miss, I believe it's called, in a JCPenney's, good heavens. The clothes so often are really immodest. It's hard to find modest clothes. You'll be going against the grain if you dress modestly. That was number three. One other notion here. Do remember that when we give from our surplus, that's philanthropy. When we give from our need, that's charity. Number four, to visit the imprisoned. Besides those in prison, many others suffer hindrances or dangers to freedom. Helping them or protecting them is an act of love. For example, protecting a little boy from a bigger one, minding the baby, fighting for one's country, doing patrol duty at corners. That's charming. They used to have the safety patrol. I don't think they have that anymore for kids. But that was a big duty I had when I was a young boy at public school. Visit the imprisoned. This might be writing letters to prisoners, but beware. Most prisons have very, very strict rules. If you have contact with the prisoners, do not give them your address. That would be foolish, again, against prudence. And beware of your state of life in this. But on the other hand, to do something for the prisoner, to pray for them, to visit them, even with a letter that is fulfilling this corporal work of mercy. Number five, to shelter the homeless. Everyone needs shelter. To help others obtain shelter or to preserve it is an act of love. Bringing others to your home in time of fire, floods, other disasters, helping to take care of the furnace, dusting the furniture, making the beds, cleaning the floor, all of this can be done by a young child. But as you grow up, you might do something else, such as getting some help to a shelter for battered women, or helping out with a shelter with the homeless, doing something for it, providing means for it, doing repairs at the house of a widow who just can't take care of those things themselves anymore. Number six, to visit the sick. Helping sick people in any way is an act of love. Running an errand for an elderly lady, reading to a sick person. It takes great skill to visit the sick, and it's easy to say something quite stupid. Again, we need to exercise things like the virtue of justice or the virtue of fortitude. It's hard to see somebody suffering or to listen to them cry out in pain, but it's a marvelous exercise of that virtue. Or it might be, again, the virtue of prudence. If you go into somebody that's really sick and they have an infectious disease, need to gown up, put on the mask. And then exercising prudence, considering that in a hospital, it's very hard for anyone to get any sleep. So if we go to visit somebody, there are hours for that. There are times which are better than others. Question 7, or point number 7, to bury the dead. It is an act of love to show respect for the bodies of the dead. There are examples of this, such as going to funerals, treating cemeteries with respect, cutting the grass on a grave, putting flowers on it. Or as you grow up, and a child can do all those things, going to the funeral of a parishioner you never knew would be a real act of charity. Going and taking care, cleaning up a grave site, the stone and the grave itself, of someone that you don't know, simply out of respect, out of honor for the dead. This pleases God greatly.